Bloomberg Law with June Grosso and Michael Best. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grosso discusses the implications of an international tribunal's ruling that China has no legal claims to the bulk of the South China Sea. She speaks to Mark Rosen, general counsel at CNA, and Harry Kreza, a research associate at the Center for a New American Security.
Harry, describe the situation in the South China Sea and the building that China has been doing there over the years.
China has begun building, as we heard at the top of this segment, a network of artificial islands. Now, these islands serve something of a dual purpose. They're there not only to stake a sort of quasi-legal claim before today to resources that are available to extraction in the South China Sea, but also to start placing down a security foothold in the region. We're seeing military-grade airstrips, equipment, and troops being stationed on these islands throughout the South China Sea and just significantly raising the tensions in the area.
And, Mark, why did the Philippines finally file a claim against China?
I think the basic reason is that I think the straw that broke the camel's back was a military standoff between Chinese Coast Guard vessels and Philippine Coast Guard vessels in the vicinity of Scarborough Shoals in 2012 because the Chinese had prevented Philippine fishermen from going into that region. And at least based on a study that we did, it was our conclusion that the Philippines felt that they were sort of at wit's end, that they'd taken it far enough in that the only way for them to obtain a redress was to go and file the current action, which you're now talking about.
Harry, the decision was made by the Permanent Court of Arbitration in The Hague. Is there any question about its jurisdiction over this maritime issue?
No, the Hague decided early on in October that it was able to render decisions on the applicability of the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea, which is the main legal platform that is at issue here. It determines how countries negotiate competing claims with one another, and that is the heart of this case between the Philippines and China.
Mark, tell me about the decision itself. I know it was unbelievably long.
Yeah, it was 504 pages. And one thing to sort of pile on what Harry just said, the Philippine legal team did a very good job of trying to avoid certain things that would have denied the court of jurisdiction. Specifically, the tribunal did not have authority to decide actual sovereignty over features, nor could it decide things that involved, let's say, military activities. But as far as the overall decision, what they looked at were a cluster of issues. First, whether the Chinese 9-dash line was a lawful claim, or put another way, is this concept of historic rights recognized?
And that's Mark Rosen, general counsel at CNA, and Harry Kreza, a research associate at the Center for a New American Security, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grosso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, an accused futures market spoofer can keep buying and selling commodities while he figures out how he might convince a jury that he's done nothing wrong. Igor Oystacher of Three Red Trading, LLC, avoided a ban on trading as he prepares for a January 17th trial in a lawsuit brought by the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. It accuses Oystacher of manipulating the market through spoofing, a bait-and-switch strategy that involves canceling large orders placed on one side of the transaction while profiting from smaller ones on the other. He has denied wrongdoing in the case. The ruling came a day before the first trader convicted of spoofing is set to be sentenced in Chicago. Prosecutors asking for a prison term as long as 7 years and 3 months. And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekday afternoons at 4:30 p.m. Eastern in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119.